Well, hello again out there to everybody in the greater TFMR kingdom. It is Thursday afternoon. And as you know, Thursdays are when we do our A2A webinars. Access to Access is what that stands for. Giving all of you, our friendly subscribers, the chance to interact and ask questions directly of the guest. This will probably be our last A2A of 2016. And to celebrate, we thought we'd bring back the guy who rung out 2015. Our last A2A last year was with Brent Cook, independent analyst of great renown in the mining sector and head of the company Exploration Insights. It's been a wild year in the miners. And so what great time to have Brent back. Brent, thank you so much for joining us.
You're welcome. Your timing's pretty good.
Yeah, crazy. And again, for everybody listening, we do this in the GoToWebinar format so that you can type in questions directly for Brent. There is a tab there in your GoToWebinar control panel that says questions. You just type them in. And when we get to that point in the show, I'll make sure I ask them of Brent. But in the meantime, I've got all kinds of questions that I've already printed off in email form and people that have said, oh, ask Brent about this one or that one. Brent, before we get to that, though, tell everybody a little bit about Exploration Insights and your experience in the industry.
Right. I've been an exploration geologist, mining geologist, economic geologist now for 30-something years. In I was mostly a contract consultant up until 1997, worked in over 60 countries on various projects from exploration stage to bank audits. I joined Rick Rule as his mining analyst in 97. And then in 2008, I started writing my investment letter, Exploration Insights, which basically is about what I'm buying and selling and avoiding in the junior mining sector. Last year, towards the end of the year, I guess just before I spoke with you, I brought on another analyst, Joe Mazumdu, who is really smart, smarter than me. And so there's two of us now working here at Exploration Insights. And like I say, a letter comes out once a week. It's about what we're doing with our money. No one pays us to say anything. It's just subscriptions and what we make on our investments that keep us going.
Yep. And it again, I couldn't recommend it more highly. For anybody that's out there, I know a lot of folks listening, even though we mainly stack metal and all of that, and it's people dabble in the shares. But if you're trying to pick them yourself, that's tough to do with all the nuance and the subtleties and stuff you got to know about individual miners. And so, Brent, it's a subscription. How much does it cost? And they go there through the explorationinsights.com website?
Yeah, it's easy. Explorationinsights.com. There's a little button up top that says subscribe here. There's a lot of free information reports in that we've put out there, Joe and myself. And in fact, the most recent one that I think you need to request is our report on fatal flaws, things that investors need to be aware of and look for when evaluating exploration and mining companies. And that's free. You just send us an email and we'll be glad to send it to you. The letter itself comes out weekly, plus the occasional alert. We charge $140 a month. That's more than a lot, but you're getting two qualified geologists who on a daily basis charge $1,250 a day. So really, it's pretty cheap.
Yeah, and given where the miners have been this year, I think it certainly would pay for itself for a lot of folks. So let's start there, Brent, where the miners have been. When we last did an A2A here at TFMR, was December the 10th of last year. And at that point, we'd watch the shares come down. You know, I like to track the HUI index, and it had come down and found a floor for about 6 months at about 105 and did not seem to want to go any lower. And I started thinking, well, maybe this is finally going to be it. And then we all know what happened. I mean, gold shot higher in the first half of this year, and obviously the shares went with it. That 105 turned into 285, and now today has turned back into 165. Brent, before we get to everybody's questions, I just turned over to you. What do you make of all this year, and how does this impact what you think is going to happen next year?
Well, last year at this time, or a little before this, like I said, I turned pretty positive on the sector. It was clear to me that the major mining companies needed new reserves, new mines. And so we went pretty heavy in December and January into some of the mid-tier companies that had deposits that we felt were high margin and that would be acquired. It worked out well. Six of our seven picks were acquired by major companies in some form or other, and the sixth is still sitting there. And we've tried to replace those that have been acquired with more or new deposits, new companies. But the reality is it's very, very hard to find high-margin economic deposits. And we're not finding that many that are already developed and built. So I think it makes sense, and this is what we're doing. We're moving down the food chain and buying into earlier stage discoveries, exploration companies, with the idea that those will be the next to be acquired by the major companies as they continue to run out of ore. I mean, they're producing on the gold front. Mine production is about 90 million ounces a year. They're finding on average 40 million ounces a year. And that's been declining now for 15 years. So they're getting more and more desperate, and they've got to replace those reserves if they're going to stay in business. And our, you know, our strategy here means that we're not that tied to the gold price. What we're tied to is new companies needing new deposits that make good money.
Yeah. Brent, what do you make of this really powerful rally we've seen this year in the base metals? You know, whether it's zinc, even lead, copper, all these things have just been going like crazy. And so much silver is discovered, you know, through that mining of the base metals as a byproduct. Is if the base metals continue to rally in 2017, if this is just the beginning of the trend, is that beneficial for silver miners and then by extension gold miners, or is it not?
Well, certainly if copper, lead, zinc go up in price, any company with those that is producing those benefits from it. Two companies that we own, Nevsun and Mariana, will definitely benefit from that because they've got copper and zinc. I'm dubious about this increase in the base metals. I think it's kind of a relief rally. Mm-hmm. Zinc may be something different. There is a serious zinc shortage, but fundamentally, and I guess we'll talk about this later, but I don't see that the picture, economic activity worldwide, etc., has changed that much. And if that doesn't change, we're not going to see the demand increase like we saw 10 years ago when China started building out its infrastructure. That's just not there. So I don't really think this increase is sustainable.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I'm in that same boat. It just seems like, on my end at least, Brent, I mean, I just think all these prices are now determined by computers trading back and forth with other computers. And these trends get exaggerated. You know, they think that the dollar's going a certain way, and so all this money rushes in nanoseconds into certain things, and it really makes it the fundamental stuff challenging to adhere to, you know, when it seems like all the fundamentals are just thrown out the window by these computers.
No, you're right. You know, I was thinking about that this week, the last few weeks. We've sort of entered what I'll call a post-fact era, where, in fact, scientific data, facts, underlying fundamentals, history, science, all those things for the short term don't matter. And it seems to be whoever can yell the loudest wins the argument. And then, like you say, you've got these computers that are just trading on nanoseconds, not really looking at fundamentals of a business. And to me, that's got to end badly. Eventually, reality sets in. When that sets in, it's going to get ugly.
Yeah. Brent, one more question, and then we'll get to all of the emailed questions, all the names that I'm supposed to ask you about, and then questions that are piling up in the queue. We've had over the last 6 months, you know, this finally a civil class action lawsuit alleging silver price rigging, fixing in London, and gold too. And I'm sure you followed the case, and Deutsche Bank is now singing like a mafia informant, you know, and we're getting all these chat room data and phone messages and emails showing the collusion, showing the manipulation. Do you think ultimately at the end, and this is just my personal concern, so this is my question, I guess, in a way, you know, I want to see the derivative pricing structure go away, because I think the price is discovered through derivative trading and the supply and demand of derivatives rather than the actual metal. And I think that penalizes, that affects the price, and it penalizes the companies, their employees, and their shareholders. Do you, to get, before I'm getting that, this question, I promise, a way to end that is to remove their power, to remove, and to remove their power, one of those legs of that stool is these mining companies that participate, that use the banks, that employ these traders for all their financing, you know, and everything else, and for hedging and all the other things that these mining companies do. Do you think there might be at some point a point of critical mass where some of these rock breaking CEOs say, wait a second, I've been getting screwed all along by these banks. I'm not going to play in that and play their game anymore. Or do you think that's too much to ask because none of them have seemed to be aware of this before now?
Well, I don't know. To me, it, you know, it's not just silver. I mean, to a large degree, Goldman Sachs and those guys, their job has always been to screw everybody. We're just more aware of it because we're in this sector. But I don't see it happening. I mean, who did Trump just appoint? A big guy from Goldman Sachs. They're always going to, you know, they always have all the playing cards, and we're just sort of on the sidelines. I don't see it happening.
Do you think, just say, random CEO of gold miner X, you know, that has always just, you know, that doesn't even pay attention to what the price is or how it's discovered. You know, they're just running their business, and, you know, they come from a geology background and just don't even pay attention to this stuff. Do you think news of these cases, and because there's going to be more to come, eventually sink in with those guys, or just your personal opinion, or do you think this never has really any impact just because of the nature of who these guys are?
The honest answer, I'm afraid, is I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know how those guys think. I don't really spend a lot of time trying to figure these things out. I'm afraid my focus is on geology and economic deposits, so sorry about that.
I just, you're a little closer to that situation than I am, and I wanted to run that past you. That's perfectly fine. All right, I want to encourage everybody listening, again, before I get to the emailed questions and the names we're going to rattle off, if you're listening and you want to ask Brent a question about the world in general, mining in general, specific names, click the questions tab on your GoToWebinar control panel, type it in, and after we get through all of these, we'll start getting to all of those. So, Brent, if you're ready, I'm going to hit you with the first email question I had, and you almost kind of touched on this earlier. This comes from Jay Quest, and he says, are the stories about a lack of precious metal resource investment true? That research and development into the discovery of new mines has been very low for the last 3 or 4 years, and this lack of investment is going to cause potential shortages in the future.
He's spot on. Jack. Yeah, he's spot on. That's what's happening. We've talked about it a lot in my letter. The majors recognize that there are plenty of charts out there that shows investment spent in exploration, which has come down on a cost-adjusted basis. Discoveries, as I said, are way down. And the issue is that it's really tough to find a new economic deposit because of we've covered most of the Earth fairly well. So we're looking undercover, blind, tougher areas, that takes more money, more time, and the majority of investors don't have the patience to wait out the process it takes. I mean, it's a scientific process. You come up with a thesis, you test your thesis, revise your thesis, and test it again. That takes time, and people don't have that patience anymore, and most mining companies don't either. You see, they're cutting way back on exploration and have been buying deposits when they find when they can buy.
Yeah. No, and kind of like what we were just talking about, you know, because what it seems like nobody looks 3 or 5 years in the future anymore. It's all 3 to 5 minutes.
Yeah, I'm afraid you're right.
All right. The next set of actually the next two email questions send us down that road of asking about specific companies and deposits and stuff like that. So we might as well get started. I know you'll, you know, if it's not anything you know about, I know you'll say, I'm sorry, I don't know. But I don't want you to feel uncomfortable saying that either. So feel free to just say, hey, that's not one I know anything about. But we might as well start laying them on you. The first one, again, from an email, comes from a guy named Scott who just wants to know what you think of this company called Brazil Resources, who just changed their name, actually, a couple of weeks ago, apparently, to something gold mining or something. Anyway. What do you make of that one?
Yeah, I know it well. And before we get into this, I should say that, you know, facts, data, information changes. And if I say I like a company or I own it or I don't own it, next week drill results could change that picture. So this is time sensitive, if you will. In terms of Brazil Resources, which I think is now gold mining something, or something that's going to get a lot of hits on the internet,
yeah.
It is professionally run and exceptionally well marketed. What they've done is acquired a number of out of the money, meaning uneconomic gold resources in Alaska, in Brazil, and recently in Colombia that just flat out don't make any money. So this is your leverage bet that sometime in the future, if the gold price rises enough, these will make money. I don't buy it. But nonetheless, if gold rises, this company's share price rises. So that's what you buy it for. Don't buy it for anything real, the reality. It's not real, in my opinion.
In a sense, and I bet a lot of them are probably going to end up like this. In a sense, it's like an option. You know, if you're prepared, you only buy options because you're prepared to lose everything you bought. It's like walking into the casino. I mean, that kind of sounds what that's like. Is that a fair analysis?
Pretty much.
Metaphor?
Pretty much. I mean, I much prefer to buy and own deposits that will work,
yeah,
and make money.
Yeah.
I'm personally embarrassed to own something that I don't really believe in.
Sure. I hear you. All right. Next one. This comes from David. Any opinion on the recent drill results by Wesdome Gold on their Kiena deposit?
Yeah, they've actually had some success. That's an old mine that's been is plodding along. And some of the deeper drilling is hitting thicker and higher grade mineralization. So it's been pretty damn positive. I like what they're doing, and I think it's an opportunity there, especially with the gold price dropping like this. This is the one to look at.
Fair enough. Okay. He gave me a symbol here in Toronto of WDO. I would imagine that probably trades in the U.S. as well under some, you know, multi-letter symbol. But I'll have to look.
Yeah, I don't know.
Okay. All right. And then once I announced that you were going to be the guest, all kinds of folks typed in on the current threads at TFMR. Well, ask Brent this one. Ask Brent that one. So I'm just going to go through one. I got a dozen of them here. And we'll just take them, and then, like I said, anybody that wants to throw other names or other questions, I've got those stacking up in the queue as well. The first one, and if I sound like I've never heard of it, it's because I haven't. This one is Kootenay Silver. You know anything about that one?
Kootenay Silver, yes. Years ago, I went to their project down in Mexico. They've got a small deposit on an open pit, and they've been working off on I think it's called Black Hill or Black something, and found some more silver mineralization. I believe they've got a larger silver mining company involved in this as well. It's not one I own. It doesn't strike me as an exceptional deposit, but it's probably fine. But it's not one I own. I don't need to own everything. I just need to own 10 of the best deposits out there.
Yeah. All right. How about Rye Patch Gold?
All right. They've got a small royalty coming from Coeur on the Rochester mine, silver mine in Nevada, and they picked up an old deposit near Florida Canyon in Nevada. that they're bringing into production. It's really low grade, but they seem to have good operators, and a lot of the infrastructure is there, so your CapEx is minimal. But this is a leveraged deposit. It's not going to make money at low gold prices. I don't know if it's going to make money at $1,100. But this is a leveraged play, in my opinion. Again, it's not something I own.
But another one of those, kind of like the first one we talked about, Brazil Resources, now Gold Mining Wonderment, or whatever they've decided to call it. Same kind.
Yeah, sort of, except these guys are actually Cook. Ryepatch is actually building a mine.
Okay.
Gold Mining Brazil is just promoting.
Yeah. Well, you know, and that leads me to think, I'm going to jump down the list, because buried down this list is First Mining Finance, that thing of Keith Neumeyer's, where he's buying stuff, even from First Majestic. So I might as well dive down to there. I think we've talked about it before, and I would imagine you feel about it about the same way you feel about Brazil Resources, but I'll let you take it from there.
Yeah, it's about the same sort of thing, picking out of the money uneconomic deposits up on the cheap and promoting the hell out of them. I think they spend in the order of $1 million a year in promotion, maybe three quarters, but a lot of money just in promotion. And both these companies have newsletter writers that work with them and get the name out there. I'm sure, I would bet, people asking these questions have received those promotional pieces.
Yes, and I've had Keith on here, and when we talk about First Mining Finance and all that, you know, and I think that, at least if anything, I've never gotten the feeling that it was any kind of pump and dump deal. It was more, we want to raise awareness, so maybe we'll raise the stock price, then we can use that as equity to buy even more stuff. But again,
yeah, exactly.
One of those deals that it's
Keith's a smart guy, and I know Keith. He's a smart guy. I'm not bashing. You know, I'm not saying negative in that respect. I'm just saying it's not something I'm interested in, and it's not something that a company that has deposits that I think are going to be acquired by anybody.
Right. All right. Next is Pure Gold Mining. You know anything about that one?
I'm afraid not enough. I followed it. They picked up an old deposit from Claude Resources and have been drilling down dip on the vein that was mined in the past. But I haven't put the effort in it to know what they've really got. So I've got no opinion.
Well, damn it, Brent. What have you been doing out there in Utah? I mean, all right.
Good question.
How about Aurin Resources, A-U-R-Y-N?
Another well-promoted company. Yeah. A good group. They've sold, well, they got out of Keegan, and then they sold the most recent deposit to Agnico. So they're quite successful. It's a quite highly valued stock. They've got a project up in the Yukon that's interesting but challenging infrastructure-wise. And then they picked up some ground in Peru that I have seen a bit of data on, but not enough to have an opinion on. Again, this is one of these highly promoted stories. Good group of people doing good work, but the valuation has always been high and probably always will be.
Yeah.
Again, it's not one I own.
Fair enough. Northern Shield Resources.
Oh, let me think now. I might be confusing them with someone up in the Yukon or up in Northern Territory, somewhere up there that's got a joint venture, with Billiton looking for copper. And to be honest, I'd have to look on my look and see. So I'll have to leave that alone for now.
Fair enough. All right, two names that deal in zinc. We talked about zinc earlier in the base metals, and you said, well, maybe there's something to the zinc, but maybe not anything else. Do you know anything about Tinka or Calinex?
Tinka, I do. They've got a large deposit they've been drilling out in Peru. It's got size. It looks like it's got grade. It looks like it's got continuity. The stock is pretty darn cheap. They've got a long way to go to proving up a deposit, but I would say I'm favorably inclined towards that one.
Okay.
And Calinex, I don't know well enough.
Fair enough. Angel Gold. Heard of that one?
I just did. Again, that one was promoted by some newsletter, but I don't know enough about it.
All right. Bravada Gold. I remember had a Bravada back when I was in college. It was like a little SUV, but that's not what we're talking about here. I think that was a Pontiac Bravada. Bravada Gold. You know anything about that?
I used to. They've got a number of projects in Nevada, but to be honest, I don't. I haven't been following it. I haven't seen anything that gets my interest yet. So I'd better just hold off on that.
All right. And lastly, on this list of names that were posted on the site, these are kind of property specific. Aveeno has something called the Brailerine property. Sound familiar?
Who does? What's the name of the company?
Aveeno. Aveeno Metals. I might have written it down wrong, but I thought that's what it was.
No, you got it. It's Aveeno Minerals. Now, that's the deposit I don't follow.
Okay. And then lastly, something called Cruise Capital that deals in cobalt.
See. Jeez. who finds these things? I don't know.
I have no idea. That's that was a new one for me too.
Where is their deposit? Let's see. It may be the new name of something that was in Idaho. Yeah, they've been putting together a few projects. The one in Idaho, I know. It's been difficult getting that going. That's been around for a long time. But I don't know what they're doing. Again, I'm afraid you've found some that I don't know much about.
Yeah, I got to tell you, I think I get a prize to find something that you've heard of. That's hard to do. All right, I've got a handful here. I got four. I've had some drop off because we've asked about them. But I've got four here still in queue. So let's just dive right in. From Ted, Brent. What is your opinion of NGD? I realize they have a huge project, over 60% complete, that is supposed to almost double their production.
NGD.
Oh, you know what? I was hoping maybe you'd know.
New Gold. New Gold. I'm sorry. That's
New Gold. Right?
That's a much larger mining company. I don't spend a lot of time following larger mining companies. I mean, they've got a $2 plus billion market cap. They're big. Development project is Rainy River, which is just over the border in Ontario, and that's a pretty marginal deposit, to be honest with you. I think it's challenged at these gold prices, mm-hmm. but it's not a company I follow in detail. I like to watch these larger companies just in what they acquire to see what their kind of thinking is, but I don't really spend time evaluating. You've got, you know, they've got multiple mines going, and you've got 20 analysts that follow this.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. All right. George, first of all, wants to point out he thinks you're great. So, hey.
I like George.
Yeah. We like a little pat on the back every once in a while. He just wants to know what you think about New Guinea or Japan as a regional mining interest. And he's asking because he's wondering about I guess he also has a follow-up question, I guess. So, first of all, New Guinea and Japan, what do you think of them?
I've worked in New Guinea and toured mines in Japan, so I know the areas quite well. New Guinea is a very mineral wealthy place. It's a very difficult place to work too.
Yeah.
Steep jungle, very expensive work, social issues, that sort of thing.
Uh-huh.
But it's a good place to be looking. Japan, likewise, I think is probably a really good place to be exploring, because it hasn't been hit that hard for certainly precious metal deposits. But again, working in Japan, probably number one, you need to be extremely well connected to get anything done there.
Yes, Brent San. Throw that one in there for you. All right. Then his follow-up question was, if you know anything about Bay Horse Silver or K92 mining.
Bay Horse, I don't. K92 have a mine in Papua New Guinea. It's they're restarting a mine that Barrick had way back when. It's a narrow high-grade vein system. We need, in my opinion, I need to see that they can actually make money on this narrow underground mine before I'd buy it. It's a difficult spot, difficult mining method. But if they can show they can make money, the rest of the ground around there is extremely prospective, and I think they can grow the resource quite a bit. So I'm watching to see that these guys can work and show a profitable operation. And then that's something to look at for sure.
All right. From Mike, he's wondering about Kirkland Lake Gold. Didn't they just combine with somebody? I remember talking, Eric Sprott is on the board or something. I remember him mentioning something about that. Kirkland Lake Gold?
Yeah, Kirkland Lake took over one of the companies that we had in our portfolio, Newmarket, which has a project in Australia. That's a good project. Kirkland Lake, I went to their deposit in Ontario. It's high grade, but it needs a bit of work in terms of additional infrastructure. It's deep and it's crowded down there, so they have issues getting all the ore out in a timely manner. But I think it's probably a reasonable company to own, given their projects are in politically safe areas and they're doing a good job of mining.
And what was the Newmarket had a good deal? Where did you say, Australia?
Yeah, Newmarket. That's who they acquired in Australia, Fosterville.
Okay.
And that's a good deposit.
Okay. All right, one more in queue. So anybody has any other names or questions for Brent, let me know. And it's a follow-up from same Ted. Just wants to know if you know anything about Great Panther and whether it might be a takeover target.
Great Panther. I don't think it's a great a takeover target, no. I've been to their deposits, their mines in Mexico. I think there are better silver producers out there, to be honest with you. I would look at Fortuna, Endeavor. I think those are probably better choices.
Mm-hmm. All right. Hey, I know one that I own. I actually just bought before we started this. I raised a little tiny bit of cash in my IRA about a week ago, and I've got this IRA. I'll tell you a little story. Everybody on the site knows this. I had a former employer of mine from like 10 years ago cash me out of a defined benefit plan about a year ago this time, 14 months ago. And then just out of the blue, I got this check or this email that said, hey, if you want to take a lump sum just to get you off our books, we'll do it. Okay, yeah. It's not like it was the Dallas pension system, right? get out of there as quick as you can. So I figured it was like found money. So I just bought a bunch of miners like last November and kind of kept buying them all the way into about March. And now I'm just kind of stuck with them all. I'm just going to hold on to them. But anyway, I raised a little cash and bought myself some additional Pan American silver just like an hour ago. So now I'm going to ask you, do you like that one? Paz, PAS?
I would put that in the same category as Fortuna and Endeavor. Solid mining company, leverage to silver for sure. But it's not one I really follow in detail. Again, they've got mines in Mexico and Peru, and it's too much for me to try and figure out.
I got you.
You know, to win in this game, my opinion is you've got to have an edge. And Joe and I have an edge when it comes to early stage projects or single deposit companies that are kind of below the radar of most of the mining analysts. That's where our edge is, so we stay there.
Yeah, and we'll get back to this in just a second, but that edge for $140 bucks a month is a hell of a deal.
I think so.
I've gotten a couple more names that have come in as soon as I mentioned that we're almost through them all. So I'll hit you with these. You mentioned Fortuna just a second ago. Can you expand on that, FSM?
Well, certainly. I've been to their deposits in Peru and in Mexico. The one in Mexico down in Oaxaca, that's a nice deposit. It's getting thicker and better grade as they mine it. And there's extensions off to the, west that look pretty interesting. They've got to work through the social issues, meaning they've got to do a deal with the locals so they can get over there and drill it in more detail. But that will grow as well. So it's good company, good miners, no issues there.
How about America's Silver Corporation? You ever heard of that one? Sounds nice. It's America's.
You know,
we all own
there's that. A few American Silver Corp. That must be a OTC listed U.S.
Yeah.
Any one of the little red flags or rules of thumb that we use here is that if a company sort of you go to the website and they got the American flag or the Statue of Liberty or Golden Eagle, that sort of thing on the front, or have America or something like that in their name, and they're OTC listed, I am very cautious of, if you will.
Yeah.
Did I say that without getting in too much trouble?
That was very diplomatically stated. All right, I'm looking for some question. Let me ask you this one from Daniel. Just wants to know if you like any uranium stocks.
We have owned, and Joe still owns, Energy Fuels. I think that is probably the best to own in terms of leverage to the uranium price. They've got solid resources and reserves in the U.S. They've got milling facilities. It won't take much for them to turn on and ramp up production when the silver price moves, or not silver, uranium price moves. As for right now, they've got some long-term contracts, I think about $54 a pound, whereas it's selling spot for close to 20. So they're kind of surviving on that.
Yeah.
But certainly leverage to the uranium price with solid resources in the U.S., That's my favorite play.
Okay. One last question, then we'll get to, then we'll begin to wrap up. And this is a bigger picture, Brent, I guess. You know, on a daily basis, I write here about what we talked about earlier, the algos controlling everything and how they're all correlated to the Forex markets. And at some point you wonder what they're really pricing. But yet you've got this futures trading that kind of wags the, if you think of the futures trading as a tail, it seems to wag the spot dog most of the time. His question, I guess, for you is there any scenario that you think the physical precious metal market might actually establish a floor to the paper price against this computer trading?
That's a great question, but I'm afraid that's way beyond my my level of understanding of how those things work. I just can't even answer it.
Fair enough.
Sorry about that. It's a good question.
That's okay. All right, my friend. Well, that brings us to the end because I no longer have any questions in queue. And before I let you go and give you the rest of the year off, you can just now just shut everything down and get to your holidays. I got to ask you some holiday-themed final four questions. The final four is our tradition around here, just kind of four fun, quick, usually answer them with a question or a sentence, but it's kind of a fun way to send you on your way. So if you're ready, can I lay them on you?
We'll see what happens.
All right. Question number one, are you going to be seeing the new Star Wars movie?
I doubt it. I'm not a big Star Wars fan. I'm more of a Star Trek guy.
Ah, okay. Well, we'll keep an eye on that for you then. Instead, how about this? What's your favorite Christmas carol?
God, I hate them all. don't have one.
I know I can list off the ones that I don't like, probably more so the ones that I can like. So you're not even a Silent Night or anything like that?
I can't think of one.
All right. Well, that's fine. That's fine. I'll start humming a few on the way out.
I'll go walk in the mall today and see what I hear.
There you go. That'll get a few stuck in your head. All right. In the Cook family, when do you open Christmas presents?
Well, let's see. I've been able to nudge it a little bit, so we do one on the 23rd, might do a couple the 24th, and the rest Christmas morning. And, you know, the wife doesn't like this idea, but the kids are all for it, so we outvote her.
I kind of like that gradual process, too. Kind of keeps going, you know? Nothing.
Exactly.
All right, and lastly, in the theme of Christmas carols, what are you doing New Year's Eve?
a friend up in Rancho Santa Fe has a big party, so we'll probably go to that.
Fair enough. I didn't know if that was kind of get the like the little noisemakers and stuff, and you know, all those kind of things.
I don't know what they'll have there except a bunch of people and alcohol and who knows what else.
That sounds like a party to me. And after after the last 5 weeks, I think we all need a couple of parties like that, my friend. Holy smokes.
Oh my God. Hey, I know what I was going to mention to you. You mentioned movies. Do you realize that there's a Briex movie coming out December 24th or something?
That one that's going to come out. I've heard things about it from time to time, and it's an actual wide release theatrical production, isn't it?
Yeah, it's got a couple of famous people in it. I think it's called Gold. I forget. I was able to review the transcript. One of the people that threw in some geologic input, and this is going to be a great movie.
Awesome. Well, thank you for bringing that to our attention, because that's something that I just have seen drift across the screen every once in a while in the last few months, and then you just kind of file it away and forget about it. But that's right. That'll be probably in a week or so then.
Yeah, I'll see that rather than Star Wars.
Yeah, exactly. I think that would probably be a good idea. Yeah, for anybody, I got to admit, I mean, I don't know much about, I kind of have a 37,000 foot view and recall of what happened, but if you say it's a pretty accurate retelling of that story, I'm sure I'll be out to see it.
Well, it's a Hollywood version, but it should be fun.
Yeah. Awesome. Well, Brent, hopefully we'll get back together soon enough to offer our own little Siskel and Egbert thumbs up or thumbs down on it at some point. But at this point, I sure look forward to a much better 2017. It was fun for a while this year, and hopefully things will turn around and we'll right the ship and we'll have a lot of fun stuff to talk about in 2017.
Yep, I think reality will set in again.
Well, Merry Christmas, my friend. Thank you. Thank you so much for joining us. And again, it's www.explorationinsights.com is the site everybody wants to check out.
That's right. And that Fatal Flaw report is available anyone that wants to see it.
And Brent, I got to tell you, somebody just almost shouted at me in the GoToWebinar control panel. You got just like 15 seconds to say what you think about lithium.
Lithium's pretty nice stuff. There's no shortage of lithium in the world, and there's an overabundance of lithium wannabe companies out there. I haven't really participated in it, but I think if I was going to, I'd go with someone who actually had the production capabilities, one of the larger companies. This is going to end in tears, the same way rare earths did. That sort of thing. I just can't pick the timing.
Fair enough. All right, then that's it. I'll give you the rest of the afternoon off, Brent, to go do some more Christmas shopping. Thank you so much, though. And again, I cannot. If you're going to try to fiddle around in the fiat and the shares and everything else, and you're doing this blind, boy, oh boy, check out explorationinsights.com. Brent does a fabulous job. It's well worth the money, and I just can't recommend it highly enough. Brent, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you, and have a good rest of the year and new year.
All right, everybody, and thank you for listening, and we'll see you when the calendar flips in 2017 with our next A to A.